want to understand it, we look at the book of Hebrews, and the body before it's inhabited is just a piece of clothing as far as the Bible is concerned. In the book of Hebrews, and the passage that we are considering, and now waiting for me, eh? Chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 to verse 7. Now notice very carefully the time context that the Bible talks about. In Hebrews 10, verse 5 to 7. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Verse 6, you have prepared a body for me. In burnt offering sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in a volume of the book. It is written on me to do your will, O God. Verse 5, sacrifice and offering did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Now, there is a difference when Jesus came on this earth. There was no creation of Jesus. What you have is Jesus, who was known at that time as the Word. See, the name of Jesus before he came down was the Word. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So in the Old Testament, you have the Trinity. You have God, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament, we always know the second person of God as the Lord Jesus, because he took on the name Jesus only when he came to this earth, as an expression of what he has done. It says when he came into the world. Now let's look at it in terms of time, chronological order. Whether it be a nanosecond, a picosecond, or a split second, what God did was he created a body for Jesus. And then Jesus emptied himself of all his power. The three omnis, we call it: omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent. And he came into that body. It could be, it may not necessarily be a multi-cell body. God created a body in Mary's womb. Whether it's a single cell human body or a few cells, God created a human body. Now some of us say, how can spirit enter such a small body? There is no dimension in the spirit world. There is no dimension. Remember the man possessed with a legion of demons? A legion is about 6,000 demons. Can you imagine 6,000 demons fitting into one human being? Pretty crowded inside. There is no physical dimension in the spirit realm. You could probably fit a million demons on a pinhead or on an atom. And so there is no physical limitation to dimension. So Jesus, look at it this way, a body was created first. That is why in Luke chapter 1 it says the holy thing. It was a thing until Jesus came inside. So for a split second, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and created a new human body. And then Jesus came and entered into that body. That's how the virgin birth came about. There was nothing that Mary contributed to the process. God did not take part of the cell of Mary and created a male seed to fertilize it. No, he did not. Mary's womb was just an incubator for the process. God could have done it like He did in the book of Genesis. He could have taken clay, put it together, formed the figure of a full-grown man, and then get Jesus to come in. But it would have been frightening to everyone. And people will accept based on that. Plus, we would have missed out on Jesus going through all the facets of humanity. As a child, as a teenager, etc. And so that is the virgin birth. Why must it take place? In the book of Romans, Paul tells us that sin is in our physical flesh too. In the book of Romans, cross-reference with me. Romans chapter 7, verse 17 onwards. For now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. See, this physical body, if it had no imperfection or sin in it, would have lived immortally. But apparently the sin present in the mortal flesh, nothing good dwells. For the will is present, but how to perform what is good I do not find. Now, he is not describing that that is a normal Christian life. In Christianity, we recognize that the body has a sin nature inside, and therefore we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit constantly so that we do not sin. And that's why Christians have wrestled with the concept of sin in the body. In the first 1,000 to 1,500 years of Christianity, Christians abhor the physical body. They torture the physical body because they felt sin was present in the physical body. It is only in the past few hundred years that Christianity began to see that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's imperfect. Yes, imperfections are present. But when it is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it can, what they call, mortify the body. Which is found in chapter 8 of Romans, where the body is mortified, or it's the sin that is present is held back by the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. That is in Romans chapter 8. Just have to give that verse so that we do not run to the other extreme of seeing the physical body as bad. In verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Notice He's not talking just about eternal life in your spirit. Verse 11, very clearly, give life to your physical body. Because our physical body has a sin nature, it needs to be sustained by the life of the Spirit. Now here is in Romans 8, verse 3, talking about Jesus coming in the flesh. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now you notice something. There's an acknowledgement that if Jesus or any great teacher come through the normal process of a human being, and they are conceived through a normal relationship, man and woman, they would inherit with them the sinful nature. And so the virgin birth was designed by God so that God created a new physical body within Mary's womb that is absent from sinful flesh. And the Bible gives a very precise description in verse 8. God did by sending His own Son, look at the expression, not in sinful flesh, in the likeness of sinful flesh. It looks like flesh, feels like flesh, and it is flesh without its sin. Now, just like some people say, you know, it doesn't mean that if a person, you know, flies like a bird, talks like a bird, behaves like a bird, therefore it must be a bird. Everything feels like the flesh, touches like the flesh, but it is pure, undefiled, sinless flesh. It has to be a real physical body to be a lamb of sacrifice for the human race. So uniqueness number one, Jesus did not even have sin in His flesh. We're not just talking about a great teacher. You're talking about a great creation of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's number one, His uniqueness. He was not just in flesh. He looks like sinful flesh, but He's not. He was a new flesh created by God to be a sacrifice for humanity. Remember, in the Old Testament form, the lamb must be without spot or wrinkle. If Jesus had come in the normal human way, the flesh would already have been tainted and He could not sacrifice for us. So uniqueness number one. Unlike all the great teachers of religion, Jesus did not have a normal human conception. He was created by God. Of course, Jesus in His person was not created. His body was created by God. Second uniqueness about Jesus, that's different from every other teacher. Now, I speak from a background where I actually have read the Quran. I speak from a background where I actually have read part of the translated Sanskrits and also some of the Buddhist scriptures. So I'm not speaking from a background of just not having read those things. That's why I have great respect for the great religious founders. They are trying their best as much as they know how. The second uniqueness about Jesus is that unlike all the other great founders of religion, His claims are different from them. No other religious leader dare to say, like John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No other religious leader says they are the only way. All religious leaders tend to say they are one of the many ways to God. All roads lead to Rome. So all religions lead to God. That's the general saying of all religions. But Jesus comes with this unique authority and unique words. And He says that there's no other way to God except by Him. I mean, that excludes, John 14 verse 6 excludes every other religion. And that is why many times different religions have said, why are you Christians so exclusive? Why don't you follow everybody and believe that all roads lead to God? Why are you so different? Why must you be so exclusive? My friend, it's not because Christians are exclusive, because Jesus Himself excluded others. And He says there's no other way to God except through Him. And that He is the Son of God. Muhammad never said He was the Son of God. He only says He was a prophet of God. Neither Hinduism nor Gautama Buddha ever say that they are sons of God. But Jesus comes to the scene and said, He is the Son of God. There's no other way to God except by Him. John 14, 6. And that whoever believes in Him has eternal life. That's the other aspect of His teaching. There's complete assurance. Only Jesus could turn to the thief on the cross and say, today you will be with me in paradise. Gautama Buddha would only be saying, if you follow these eight paths, it may lead you to Nirvana. Muhammad would say, if you follow these five pillars, then there is a strong chance that you get there. But Jesus says, he who believes in me